knowing, God, we need your strength. We need your help to go about our day, God, to find your love and your help and your strength, God, to do what you would have us to do. God, open our hearts, open our minds, and be receptive, Lord. Let us set everything else aside, God, Lord, and focus our attention upon you, God, to come, and give you praise and glory and honor. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We honor you. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace, for all that you are and all that you do.
Jesus, precious Jesus. trust in precious Jesus, Savior, my friend. And I know that Thou art with me, will be with me through the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
I love this verse.
I'm so glad I've learned to trust Thee, precious Jesus, Savior and friend. And I know that Thou art with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, for grace to trust Him more.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
My trust is in you, Jesus. My hope is in you, Lord.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
God.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. You are
thank you, mighty God. God. Thank you, mighty God.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah. While you're on your feet, going to give you the opportunity to greet one another. One of the ushers will be at the back with an offering plate. And give as you go around and shake hands and tell you're happy to see him here in the house of the Lord.
I see. I'm not.
feel. Deep down I know that you're here with me. I know that you can do Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. For with God, all things are possible.
Yes.
It's even possible that one of these days I will follow my wife and her signs. Won't be tonight, but one day it'll happen.
I'm counting on it.
God bless you for standing. You may be seated. We do want to take some knees of the Lord in prayer. Brother Spencer Underwood has been unable to be here the last few services. I contacted him today. He's been battling first start out allergies. Now it's cold, full-fledged cold. I was going to the doctor today for some more medications. I told him we would certainly pray for him. And hopefully he said he'd be back here in service on Sunday with us. But let's continue to lift him up before the Lord, ask God to heal him. Touch him, raise him up. I know there's quite a few, my family included, that are going to be traveling over Memorial Day weekend. So we certainly want to pray God's traveling mercies upon those that are traveling. Kellums are traveling down to Mississippi. We're traveling to Florida, and others I know traveling throughout the state. And so we certainly want God's hand of protection upon us as we go. And I would also ask that you would pray concerning situation back in Florida. Many of you know we still own a couple homes there in Florida, the primary residence where we were living prior to moving here. We've been renting it since we have moved here, and our tenants vacated this last weekend. And so part of going down will be a working vacation for me, as there's upkeep and repairs and maintenance that I have to do on the property down there. That's why we are leaving a couple days early, so I don't have to spend my whole vacation working. But we're also, I've got scheduled to meet with someone, a potential tenant for the home, and just pray that God works it out where we're able to rent again, and if not, put it on the market and sell it. Obviously, we don't want to make the mortgage payment and not be there, obviously. So we would certainly covet your prayers concerning that situation, that God would work that out, and that we would either find a tenant or be able to put it on the market and get it sold. So that's one of the things that's obviously weighing heavy upon me as we go down there, and so certainly would appreciate your prayers concerning that. Anybody else have a prayer request you'd like to make mention, Sister D? All right, certainly remember them. Uncle David, certain situation there. All right. goodness, certainly. Brother Davis. All right. Certainly. All right. Certainly. Certainly. Remember James Umbers. Certainly. Anybody else? Brother Ryan? Oh, I certainly. Okay. Will do. Will do. Sister Christy. Yeah, the housing situation for her and Brother Al, certainly. Certainly were the request. Why don't you stand? Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Dear Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you. God, every need that we have, we know that you have the opportunity, God, you have the power to supply. Meet all of our needs, God. We come to you in faith, believing, trusting in your power to work in our midst, God. For those in need of healing, Lord, we pray for Kellum's Uncle David on the situation there, God, though it seems dire, Lord, we pray, God, that you would give reprieve, God, that you would allow time with family, God. Lord, that you would speak peace to the heart and lives of individuals involved in that situation. Lord, for those who are traveling, God, will be upon the road. God, I know there will be many people, God, making journeys, God, over this weekend. Lord, I pray that your hand of protection would be upon them. God, let your angels encamp around about them. Lord, we thank you that we can come to you, believe and trust in you. Lord, we lift up Brother Spencer before you in prayer, God, that you would heal his body, raise him up, strengthen him, God, and recover. God, be back in your house, God, doing your will. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity, God, Lord, to lift you up and magnify for those who need provision, God, whether it be job, employment, God, whether it be something, means of transportation. Lord, we know that you are able, God, Lord, for James Umbers, God, with you, God, would expedite the process, make it possible for him, God, not only have the surgery, but recovery, God, as you, your hand helps, God, strengthens, Lord, we love you, we praise you, we honor you, God, for the family dealing, God, with tragedy and surgery, Lord, we know that we can trust you, God, let them turn to you in their time of need, God, we love you, Jesus, we praise you, we thank you, we honor you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace, for your love and your truth, God. For all that you are and all that you do. In Jesus' precious name. In Jesus' name we ask it. Hallelujah. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Do want to bring just a, and you'll hear more about this. Been in contact. Many of you know we, when it rains, and obviously we've had our share of rain around here the past few weeks, we have a tendency to get water in the basement. Some of that has to do with just water intrusion coming up, cracks, the age of the building. A lot of it has to do, I say a lot, some of it also has to do with the fact that we don't have good runoff in the sense of the gutters and downspouts that are currently on the building in a need of repairs. So we've got contacted a brother out of FAC of Aurora who actually lives here in the area. And they are the company that he works for. That's one of the things that he does. The company he's worked for basically talked to his boss, and his boss, they're willing to do gutters on the building at their cost. So in other words, they're not going to make profit on it. They're going to do the gutters, the downspouts. We're going to go with oversized gutters, 6-inch gutters, oversized downspouts to get the water as much as we can away from the building. It won't prevent all the water intrusion, but it will certainly help, and will certainly help with a lot of the exterior kind of rubbing off, if you will, that's going on. And but it is going to be a pretty healthy sum. It's looking in a neighborhood around $2,500, $3,000 for us to have the job done. And so I will make a general appeal, you know, as we get back. They're supposed to be doing the job while we're gone. But once we get back, obviously, we'll have to stroke that check as the church and pay for that. As you have opportunity, we would just ask you to help us out as a church. We do have the money in savings, but obviously if you just keep money and, you know, spending money from savings and you don't replenish it, that doesn't last forever. And so if God lays it upon your heart and you're able to sacrificially give for that, just mark on an envelope, gutters, downspouts, whatever, building maintenance, and we'll put it towards that. But just wanted to let you know that that is happening. So if you drive by here, probably not next week, but maybe the week after, they'll be here, and they will be installing the oversized gutters and downspouts. It's going to be brown in color, so it'll match the roof and look good. And so we're looking forward to having that for a number of reasons, but did want to make you aware of that. We are concluding our study tonight of boundaries, and I look back. This will be the ninth week that we have talked about the subject of boundaries, the introduction, and then tonight will be the eighth lesson. So that's a total of 9 weeks. It's a whole grading period, if you will. It's, ending up, same time schools are getting out, all that good stuff. I didn't plan it that way. It just happened to be that way. I know it looks smart, but I didn't think all that into it. It just ended up that way. But there will not be a test, it's a good thing, probably. No. But we do want to take time tonight to review. And that's essentially what this is going to be. This is going to be a summary of the study. We're going to go back through each of the lessons, hit the high points, just kind of make sure we're reminded why we went into this study, why we talked about the different areas that we talked about in the course of this study. But hopefully, and I know for me, I have gleaned from this. I know in my own life, it's helped me. And do I need to get better at making boundaries? I certainly do. I think that any one of us, if we're honest with ourselves, can say there's areas of development that we all need when it comes to setting appropriate boundaries in our life. And I'm not just talking about morals and ethics, and I'm talking about in our time and what we allocate and what we do and how we set boundaries as to what we make ourselves available to and entertainment and just different things in our lives. We know the better we set those boundaries, the more healthy those boundaries are, and the better they develop, the better we are. The better we are in all the roles that we play in life. And so that's essentially why we went into this study. Because not only is it in interaction with other people, not only is it making sure that we are not, as we're going to talk about here in a few minutes, we are not taking stuff upon ourselves as our responsibility that is not our responsibility. And furthermore, we are not putting off on other people what is our responsibility. And that we know our area of responsibility. We are allowing God to help us through His Word, through coming together and being taught, through fellowship and teaching and instruction in the Word, instruction in righteousness. We are understanding what boundaries are good for us and how those boundaries help us. And I for one, know I need the Word of God, and I need the people of God to help me set good boundaries. To make sure that I'm putting walls where walls need to be, and I'm putting gates where gates need to be. And I am letting in the good stuff, and I'm keeping out the bad stuff. And that's only done by us setting good boundaries. And so that's the reason why we went into a study like this. And we're going to start off with lesson one. And I titled it Boulders and Backpacks. Lesson one, and I might stop in the middle of this and ask questions, so go ahead and get nervous. I won't point you out, so you don't have to worry about that, unless it's Sister D. I may point her out. But boulders and backpacks. We talked about the difference between what is my responsibility, what I'm responsible for, and what I'm not responsible for. And we looked at Galatians 6, where it talked about bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. But then it went on to say each man must have his own burden, must carry his own burden. And we talked about the differences between those and how the Greek brought out the difference between a personal load or an individual load or a boulder, something that we could not carry. And we have to own the things that are ours and understand that we are responsible for carrying them. Those things that God has placed into my knapsack, those things that according to the Word of God, I am to do as the man of, as it applies to me, as the man of my house, I am. If a father provideth not for his own, he's worse than an infidel, and the truth is not in him. There are certain things that are my responsibility as the man of the house. I am to do those things. They are not somebody else's responsibility. It is not the government's responsibility. It is my responsibility. That is my knapsack. That is what God has placed in for me to carry on my own. It's my responsibility. And we have to disown the things that are not ours and realize they are not our responsibility. There are some things that other people try to put off on us, and they try to get us to do, or they try to manipulate us into feeling like we should do it. And honestly, we need to understand before God, I am not obligated. I am not accountable to carry someone else's individual load that God meant for them to carry. I'm not. God did not lay that to my charge. I am not accountable. But if it is a boulder, if it is something that they cannot carry, if it is something that they do not have the strength or the power to carry on their own, and it is not something that is in their defined area of responsibility according to the Word of God, then I am duty-bound as a believer to assist. I should help those individuals. It is futile to feel responsible and accountable for things of others God never meant for me to carry. And it's irresponsible to displace my load on others. And that's what we need to understand. When someone else is taking a portion of their load that God has placed for them to be good stewards of, to be responsible of, and they have attempted to put that off on me, I have to understand I am being irresponsible if I accept that. If I say yes to that, if I do not put a boundary and say, no, I'm not doing that for you, that is not my responsibility, then I am being irresponsible. Furthermore, if God has placed it in my care and it is something that I am to do, it is irresponsible for me to consider someone else lifting that load. It's not meant to be that way. We found out biblically we are responsible to others and for ourselves. We are responsible to help others when the burden is too big for them to bear on their own. And we are responsible to ask others for help in bearing the burdens that are too big for us to bear on our own. This was something big because sometimes as we don't want to overburden people, if you will. We feel like, well, I can do this and I can do that and I'll help here. But sometimes asking for help, sometimes realizing that it's God intended for us to ask for help. That God's design is that we have brothers and sisters in Christ, that when the load is not our individual load to carry, and it is a boulder that we need help lifting, we need to understand it is responsible of us to ask other people to help us. Not to delegate all of it. Not to say, well, I don't want to do any of this, so I'm going to have other people do it. No, but it is the understanding that there are some things in life, and there are some things that I will encounter, and there are some boulders that I will never be able to lift myself, and I need the help of other people in my life. And I need to learn how to let people help me, how to ask for help, how to say it is not a mark against our character. It is not. It is not diminish us as individuals when we understand our limitations. Now, let's face it. Sometimes our pride would have us not ask for help. Our pride would compel us to just stay silent and not ask other people. But if we understand that it is God's will that we see the need of help from other people, that's healthy. That's good. To let the good in. I've got to have some gates. I've got to have opportunity where I ask other people for help to do some of the things that I cannot carry on my own. We are responsible for not involving ourselves in the personal loads of others and for what God has placed in our own. Listen, and I know we stress that, but we need to be reminded there are people who manipulate, there are people who are controllers, there are people who try to get us to carry what God meant for them to carry. And if God meant for them to carry, no, I won't do it. I'm not going to help. I'm not going to assist. Lesson number two, we talked about some boundary issue types. Anybody remember some of the boundary issue types? Types of people that have boundary issues. Anybody remember? I was going back a few weeks. But you remember a compliant? What did the compliance do? Okay, they take on more than what they should. They say yes to the bad. Remember we talked about the scripture where Jesus said, let your yeas be yeas and your nays be nay? In other words, we would say let your yes be yes and let your no be no. But oftentimes when we have boundary issues, we say yes when we really know we should say no. We acquiesce. We're compliant. We don't want to offend people. We don't want to hurt people. We don't, you know, we want to be a Christian, and we don't want to upset anybody. And so we sometimes, in that compliant type, we say yes to the bad. We already have a full plate. We've already got a lot of things going on. And we, in our inability to set proper boundaries sometimes, we are compliant and we acquiesce and we say yes to the bad stuff, when we should learn to say no. No, I can't do that. It's okay to say no. No is a very powerful word. And it's proper to say it at times. And it's okay that you have definitive boundaries in your life and you say no from time to time. That's all right. And you need to understand that when you say no, if it is an appropriate boundary and it is set biblically according to the Word of God, and you say no, that is not a mark against Christianity. You are not being less of a Christian if you tell somebody no. But because we are, and we have a tendency to be compliant, and I know for a large sense of the word, compliance or being compliant is a good thing. But sometimes we have to be careful, because if we are too compliant and we never say no and we always say yes, we negatively impact relationships in our life. And we talked about that in some other lessons. We'll address it, how that we got to protect the precious. And we say no sometimes because it's setting a boundary to protect what is precious in our life. What about avoidance? What did avoidance do? They avoid. They said what to the what? They said no to the good. Avoidance say no to the good. They. I don't want to inconvenience you. People want to help, and they offer to help, and they really want to intervene in the situation in a good way, but we got a wall there, and there should be a gate there, and we should learn how to say yes to the good. We should learn. Proper boundaries mean that there are some times when somebody offers to help, I say yes. I say yes, but sometimes we're apprehensive of that. Why? Because it makes us vulnerable. Because we have to admit that we need help. Well, it means I'm weak. No, it just means I have limitations. And we all have limitations. And we all have certain levels of inabilities. And we all need to realize that at points in times, I need to learn to open the gate and say yes to the good. I need to say, come in, help me. I need help. And I think this is for a large part, this is where a lot of people struggle, because we're not candid enough and we're not transparent enough. We're not as willing as we should be to confess our faults one to another. We're not. We have this air of perfection that we want to maintain, that we're good. We don't need help and we don't need assistance. And so sometimes we struggle with stuff, and we really think we can battle it out on our own, and our willpower is going to be enough and we're going to be able to do it. And we realize later on that's not the case. We need people. We need to say yes to the good. Or controllers. Anybody remember controllers? Two types of controllers. Anybody remember what those are? One of the two? Man, I see I did a wonderful job teaching. Aggressive controllers and manipulative controllers. Those individuals that aggressively control the situation, they're constantly trampling the boundaries. They don't have respect to your boundaries. They want you to have all kinds of respect for their boundaries, but they don't have any respect for your boundaries. They manipulate the situation, or they control the situation. They're trying to get you and I to give in and capitulate and either become compliant and just say yes when we should be saying no. But the Bible says we say, let your yeas be yea and let your nay be nay. Let your yes be yes, let your no be no. In lesson 3, we talked about boundary guidelines. How do we know, and what are some guidelines we can use in order to set good boundaries? What are some things that you and I can look at to help us decipher what a good boundary is and how a good boundary is developed? We talked about laws of activity. Anybody remember any of the laws of activity we talked about? There's two of them. First one was sowing and reaping. The law of sowing and reaping. In other words, we understood as we studied this topic that I will never, and you will never, we will never stop the law of sowing and reaping. It is a law. It will, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. We understand that is a law. Now, it works both good and bad. When you sow good stuff, you reap good stuff. But sometimes when we intervene, when we get involved in responsibility, areas of responsibilities that are other people's responsibilities, because we haven't set an appropriate boundary and we haven't learned to say no, and so we do comply and we do get involved in somebody else's responsibility, we do not stop the law of sowing and reaping. What we do sometimes is we take it upon ourselves, where we reap. They have sown bad behavior, and we reap from that because we get involved. Or it just continues to progress, and they never learn how to deal with it. And until someone says, okay, I'm done. I'm not helping you anymore. It's all over. And they finally say no. And then that individual, when they would have learned at the beginning and maybe could have gotten some strength if we'd have set the appropriate boundaries initially, now, man, the floodgates are open. Now they reap, and they reap in such a way that it's very, very damaging and harming to them. We talked about those laws of sowing and reaping, and then we talked about proactive versus reactive. How that we have to be proactive in setting boundaries. A lot of times we set boundaries as a reaction to something. Something happened, a situation occurred, and then I set a boundary. And if we're not careful, our reactive boundaries are temporary. They're based upon a situation, or they're based upon a circumstance, or they're based upon feelings or emotions. And so they're reactive to the situation. When if we would proactively set boundaries, it's a way to objectively set a boundary where it's not based upon the circumstance, it's not based upon the situation, it's not based upon emotions and feelings that are involved. I proactively set the boundary. And if I can proactively set a boundary, it has more potential of lasting and standing the test than if I'm setting boundaries on a reactive measure. If I set boundaries proactively. We talked about this, especially in young people, when it comes to things of morality and peer pressure, if they would learn to be proactive in setting boundaries. We probably can look back over our younger years and say, man, if I'd have been more proactive in setting certain boundaries, I could have saved myself some harm. I could have saved myself some damage in life if I had been proactive in setting some boundaries and learning how to say no to certain situations and learning how to say yes in others. Talked about some markers. Evaluation. How to evaluate. We talked about the difference between hurt and harm. Just because something hurts doesn't mean it harms me. And sometimes hurt is good. Sometimes allowing people to deal with the consequences of bad choices. Sometimes putting the boundary and saying, no, I'm not intervening. I'm not rescuing. I'm. You're going through this. You're having to deal with it. But it hurts them. Yes, it may. But hurt is not harm. And sometimes hurt is helpful. And I've got to evaluate. Is the boundary, even though it may hurt, will it help? In the long run, will it be beneficial to the situation? If I set this boundary, can I evaluate the boundary and say it's going to be beneficial? What's the motivation? We talked about let love lead. It's got to be born of love. It's got to be. Because all those, when you think about all those different types, those boundary issue types and the compliant, it's an issue of love. I'm not going to be loved if I don't say yes. And people are not going to like me if I tell them no. And so I comply and I say yes. And then the avoidant, they're afraid to let people in. And if people see and know the real me that I can't handle this, they won't think of me the same. And so I can't let love in. And it's all about issues of love. And then the controllers that they have to manipulate, or they're aggressive in their intent to control. Because they realize if it was all left to them by themselves, they couldn't do it. And so it's all about fear. It's the fear of rejection. It's the fear of being transparent and vulnerable and candid. It's the fear of not having the control. And so we thought about this. Wait, love's got to lead then. The only thing that really lets me know that it's going to be a good boundary is if the motive of setting the boundary is love. Love. Do I love this person enough in the middle of this situation to set the boundary, even though it hurts? Do I love them enough? My parents taught me some lessons growing up. They set some boundaries in life. When I crossed them, it hurt. It hurt. Backside got tore up. Things got taken away. It hurt. But they developed some boundaries in my life. They developed some boundaries that helped me become who I am today. And I'm endeavoring to develop boundaries in my children's life. And guess what? Sometimes it hurts. We all know the line that, you know, every parent says to the child, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. We all know that's a lie. But the understanding is this. There is hurt. Yes, I do not enjoy spanking my kids. I said that on a podcast. I spank my children, in case you don't know that. I do. I don't enjoy that. But what I do enjoy is reinforcing boundaries in their life. What I do enjoy is the understanding that it worked for me. What I do enjoy, and please understand this, and whether you feel that's right or not, that's up to you. I can show you in the Word of God where it's right. But when you reinforce those boundaries, and it's like a read something not too long ago. I may have brought it out of Facebook. It says, when I was a child, my parents spanked me. As a result, I suffer from respect for others. It was a boundary that was set in my life. And it's good. Guess what? There's a few whippings that I can remember that I got as a child. I can't remember all of them. There's a few that, you know, are distinct in memory. But guess what? Those things that were developed as a result of those boundaries that were set in my life and the pain or the hurt, guess what? It didn't harm me. Matter of fact, it helped me. It taught me. And might I be so bold as to say that that's what's wrong with our generation nowadays. We don't have enough people willing to be hard enough on those that are coming up to set boundaries in their life. To make them know, you don't go here. There is consequence for your action and for your choice. I stayed longer on that than I wanted to. Borders, respect. The border of the boundaries, respect. Respect for others and for them to have respect for me. And whether or not they respect my boundaries, I'm still obligated to respect their boundaries. I'm obligated to respect the boundaries of other people. I may not agree with them. I may not like them. But I need to respect them. It's their choice to make the boundary. And if they make that boundary, I respect that boundary. And limitations. We all have limitations. Every single one of us. We have talents. We have abilities, certainly. But we all have limitations. And that's why I need other people. I need other people to help me. Lesson 4, we talked about some boundary myths. Am I being selfish? Understanding the difference between selfishness and stewardship. When I say no and I set boundaries and I protect what is precious in my life, I am protecting what God has placed in my care. And because I am doing that, I am not being selfish, I am being a good steward. So when the enemy tries to convince you not to set the boundary because you're being selfish, I need to understand. No, I'm just being a good steward. I'm protecting what God has placed in my care. I'm being offensive and combative. We talked that boundaries are defensive by nature. I'm not being combative when I set a boundary. Is it going to ruffle some feathers? Yep. Is it going to cause conflict? Yep. But boundaries are by nature. They are defensive. They are not combative. They're not offensive. The reason why they're offended is because they're where they shouldn't be in the first place. I will ruin good relationships. We talked about boundaries are a test of good relationships and build stronger bridges. And if boundaries set in a relationship cause it to ruin, it probably wasn't a good relationship to begin with. Lesson 5, internal resistance to boundaries. We talked about how we are our own worst enemies. We often withdraw when we need to engage. These internal resistances to setting boundaries. And we often withdraw instead of engaging other people and letting other people help us. We become avoidant many times when it comes to our own internal issues because we won't say yes to the good. We won't let other people help us. Whether it's pride or whether it's we don't want to show any weakness, whatever it is, we're just not willing to engage when we should. And so we often withdraw. Try to use willpower and solve our boundary problems ourselves. This is a big no-no. We realize if we had the control, if we had enough self-control, we wouldn't have a boundary issue. And so we don't. And so we have limitations. And we need to recognize those limitations. And we need to let other people help us. We need good boundary buddies to help us set appropriate boundaries. People who are candid and caring, not condescending and critical. People that understand, but for the grace of God, so go I. People who are not condescending. People who do not beat me over the head with it. People who understand, yes, there are consequences for your choices. And yes, when you cross this boundary, there is going to be stuff that happens as a result. People who are restrainers, not rescuers. They restrain from intervening. They restrain from coming in and rescuing me from the consequences. They're not mean about it. But they certainly understand you, as we've said, you made your bed, now you got to lie in it. That's the reality of what it is. And those are good boundary buddies, people who are not, got to be careful because we sometimes want those people that will come in and rescue us because we don't want to deal with the consequences. We need to understand that's not good for us. We need people who are candid and caring enough to restrain from involving and saving us from the consequences. We don't need rescuers. We need people who love us enough to restrain from being involved and intervening when we need to suffer the consequences of our choices. Lesson 6, we talked about external resistance. Setting boundaries will create conflict. Seldom, if ever, will the other interested parties just acquiesce and accept where you place the boundary. If we think because we're going to set boundaries in our life that everybody else is just going to be okay with those boundaries, not going to happen. There will be conflict. There will be conflict. We will have issues, if you will. But we also need to understand that over the long haul, that's what's going to benefit. That's what's going to build a stronger relationship. It's either going to grow, we talked about, it's either going to grow in intimacy and love or it's going to crumble. Jealousy and envy and other things. And if that's the case, then it needs to crumble. Often the external resistance will come in forms of consequences and are counter moves and attempt to invalidate the boundaries. People will, if you're going to set a boundary there, well, then this is what I'm going to do. And there's counter moves and there's all these different things. But you're going to have to understand those things are going to happen. People are going to have counter moves. When you set boundaries, they're just going to. It's just the fact of what is. They're going to attempt to regain back the territory that you're now putting a wall up and saying, no, you don't come here anymore. Or you only come here with permission. Or you only come here with certain stipulations. And they're going to do whatever they can to counter move. Make you suffer consequences for doing so. So that you, okay, maybe the wall wasn't good. I need to think this over. No. The difference between forgiveness and reconciliation. We talked about it. Forgiveness is me. Reconciliation is we. And sometimes I can forgive, but if they're not willing to be reconciled, even though there's forgiveness, sometimes there's no reconciliation. Sometimes the relationship will ruin. It will. And if that's the case, if setting the boundary in this situation causes a relationship to ruin, remember, it's probably not the relationship worth saving. Lesson 7. 2 weeks ago, we talked about developing healthy boundaries. Some early warning indicators, the anger and resentment. We talked about Brady, the little dog Brady. He understood the boundary. There was early warning indicators. In our lives and in setting boundaries, there's going to be early warning indicators. Anger from other people because we set the boundary. Anger in ourselves that we're once again being trespassed, that once again so-and-so is doing this to us, and the anger, early warning indicator, there's where a boundary needs to be. It lets me know, okay, that's where I need to start digging a post, because that anger, that resentment, Those are good early warning indicators. When I'm dealing with those emotions and I'm struggling with this situation, I can't believe I'm acquiescing again. I can't believe I'm being compliant again. I can't believe I'm saying yes when I know I should be saying no. I know my no should be no and my yeses should be yes, but I just can't seem to do it. And I resent the fact that I said yes when I should have said no. Or now I'm struggling with this because I should have said yes to the good, but instead I said no. Boundary needs to be there. Good boundary buddies. Talked about this in depth more. Those people that are going to be good boundary buddies in our life. And this is what I think makes the family of God and the church of God so special, is that in the house of God, we should be able to find good boundary buddies. We should be able to find people that we see in their lives. They got good boundaries. They're able to operate in freedom and in love. And I see and I respect the boundaries that they have in their life. And we need good boundary buddies. We need other people to support us. We need other people to encourage us. We need good boundary buddies in our life. They're going to help us set appropriate boundaries. They're going to help us develop good boundaries in our life. Protecting the precious. Talked about. We develop, we identify those primary relationships in our life. Those relationships that mean so much. Those relationships that quite frankly, God has said, these are the relationships. These are the ones I have placed in your care. These are the ones in your immediate circle. That doesn't mean we disregard everybody else. That doesn't mean we, you know, it's us four and no more. That's not what it means. So what it means is that I understand that these primary relationships are precious, and I have great influence where my kids are concerned, where my spouse is concerned, maybe even where I have close friends, and I have great influence in those primary relationships in my life, and I need to protect those. And if I'm not setting boundaries that will protect those, I need God to help me set good boundaries in life that protect those primary relationships, that they are fostered, that they grow, that they are not injured by me acquiescing all the time, that they're not injured by me giving in and capitulating and compromising, that they are bolstered and made stronger by the boundaries that I place in life. Maturing boundaries. In other words, we talked about just start small. Let them progress, because initially you're going to deal with the guilt. Initially you're going to feel, oh, maybe I shouldn't have set that boundary, or, oh, I got a negative response, or, oh, the consequences are, yep. You're going to deal with the guilt, but eventually the guilt will go. Let the boundary progress. Let the boundary mature. Start small. Crawl before you walk. Let the boundary mature. Start with little no's, and then let the little no's graduate into big no. Then loving life with boundaries. We talked about what it's really like to have a life with boundaries. A lot less stress, a lot less worry, not so many irons in the fire. I learned how to set boundaries in life. And here's the thing that I think a lot of people miss, especially when it comes to religion, all those rules and regulations. You've got all those boundaries. Yes, I do. But I've come to understand that those boundaries make me a better person. I've come to understand that those boundaries help me in my primary relationships in life. Kel and I were talking about last Sunday night during the intermission of RBD, and he brought out a great point, how that when people are just let go to do whatever they want to do, whenever they want to do it, and when man does whatever's right in his own eyes and there are no boundaries, chaos. I mean, you think about it. When we don't have boundaries, well, then that's lawlessness. That's anarchy. I don't know about you, but I'm not interested in that kind of society. I'm not interested in a boundaryless society. We need boundaries. We need boundaries as communities. We need boundaries in our social lives. Do we not? And think about this, and I don't know if many of you have heard about this, and you probably have, but the media and the feminists and a lot of people, that man, they were hammering our vice president because he has a boundary in his life that he will not be alone with a member of the opposite sex without his wife being present. And they, well, that doesn't give women access to him. He's chauvinistic. No, he's got boundaries. And he's got good boundaries. And it would, how much, I thought to myself, how many marriages might have been saved if they'd have had the kind of boundaries he has? And yet, in our whacked out society, they look at that as being a bad thing. They try to spin that as being negative because the man has a boundary in his life where he will not be alone. I've heard it said. Have you ever heard the name of Zig Ziglar? Ever heard of his? I heard that at one time they were planning. He was flying in an airport. And he was told, he asked who would be picking him up, and the name of a young lady was given. And he said, will there be anybody else with her? And they said, well, no, Mr. Ziegler, there will be not. And he said, well, then I will find my own transportation. Because he determined that he would not be alone with a member of the opposite sex without his wife present. And you know, that's so archaic. Oh, get up with the times. No. Some boundaries are good boundaries. And they make sense. And they should be kept. And I applaud our vice president for having that kind of boundary, especially in the office that he has. Let me ask you this. What's the possibility of scandal if he stays with that boundary? I'll move on. Conclusion. The Bible helps us to find our area of responsibility and is the blueprint for placing appropriate boundaries in our life. That's why we love the Word of God so much. That's why we come and we read and we are taught from it and we look at, because it gives us the blueprint for good boundaries in our life. Identifies those primary relationships. It shows what is precious and what should be protected. It shows us, it helps us identify what boundaries are, that morale and immorality and ethics and our worship and... Does it not? And are we not benefited by it? Is not the church a great place to find good boundary buddies and helping me make the boundary stick? They take about all the time people are dealing with addiction and dealing with struggles and discipline. Well, they need a good support group. Well, how much better of a support group can you get with people with biblical boundaries? Honestly. How much better of a support group can I be in than people who have biblical, healthy boundaries in their life that help them stay straight, and it should help me stay on the straight and narrow? Boundaries make us better individually and collectively. Even on a societal level, boundaries make us better. Life with biblical set boundaries is the most beneficial life anyone can lead. You can stand. Are boundaries important? Yes. Undoubtedly, boundaries are important. It's also important where I set those boundaries, how I set those boundaries. It's also important whether or not those boundaries are set as God says they should be set. And so is it, and I realize there are some things in the Word of God, and again, that's why I purposely didn't come up here with a list of boundaries. I didn't come up here with, and you know me as a pastor, there are certain things. I'm not going to get up here and try to police people's lives. Tell them where they got to set the boundary when it comes to their entertainment in their home. But I think the Bible gives us some, I will set no evil thing before my eyes. The Bible gives us some pretty clear boundaries concerning how we should govern our lives and how we should set boundaries in our lives. And if I'm all the time up here trying to pinpoint certain things, and I think we do ourselves a disservice when we try to define certain things, because guess what? Society is evolving and society is changing. But if I understand the principle, if I understand, and though the Word of God doesn't tell me not to do drugs, guess what? It does tell me that this body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. And so the principle is that I don't do things that destroy this body. I don't do things. Now, there's a lot more things than drugs that destroy the body. Now, don't worry, I'm not going down this road. I'm just simply making a point. I'm making an illustration in the sense that the principle is in the Word of God. And if I will set the boundary according to the principles in the Word of God, I will be benefited. And a life of biblical boundaries is the most beneficial life anybody could ever lead. Lord Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you for your Word. God, we thank you for a study like this. And help us, God. Give us direction, Lord, in setting boundaries in our life, Lord. And I pray, as we've gone through this study, Lord, and we've done some introspection of ourselves, God, we looked at our own lives, God, and found areas of need, God, where we need to develop healthier boundaries, Lord. Let us do so, God, in prayerful consideration, Lord, as we're instructed in righteousness through your Word and the teaching, God, that we would endeavor, God, not to just discount or not to just cast off because it's not compelling or we don't feel like it's necessary. But Lord, let us with an open heart and honest mind, God, visit your Word, God, that you would teach, that you would lead and guide us and help us set the boundaries in life that are so needed. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we thank you, we honor you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace, for all that you are and all that you do. In your precious name, in Jesus' name we ask it. And everybody said amen. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord. You may go in the precious name of Jesus.